May these words be acceptable to you, and may your kingdom come. Our God, our Redeemer. As I sat down to write this sermon in a local coffee shop, I was a little perplexed with where to start with this passage from the Gospel. After staring at a blinking cursor on the computer for a while, suddenly, a large bird flew into the open door of the cafe. There was a communal gasp and instant concern. How do we get this bird out of the coffee shop? It had perched itself in the corner, probably snickering at our chaotic reaction to its presence. One lady started searching for something to capture the bird, while another stood with her hands in the air, eager and ready to employ her bird corralling skills. The staff person had been under the counter, getting some beans to grind. She popped her head up and, with a soft but firm voice, said, "Don't worry, everyone. Just let her be. She's okay in here. She'll find her way." We collectively exhaled and went back to our respective spots. And of course, she was right. The bird happily hopped out the door a few minutes later without incident and more satisfied with the crumbs she found along the way. Sometimes we need reminders that we do not always hold the best judgment for the whole world and everything inside of it, don't we? My immediate reaction, along with everyone else's, was get that bird out. But why? I'm not entirely sure. Social norms, I guess. It's interesting how we impose our judgment on even the most uncomplicated situations until someone snaps us out of it and says something like, "Just chill out. Your judgment and perspective of the situation isn't actually all that helpful." I thought about what had just happened and realized it connected to what I needed to hear from today's gospel. So in the gospel reading, we hear the parable of the wheat and the weeds. The story is about a wheat field that has been infiltrated with invasive weeds. The plants are starting to grow together, and the head of the field team goes to the master to ask if he should pull the weeds so the wheat could have some more space. But he replies in verse 29, "No, for in gathering the weeds, you will uproot the wheat among them. Let them both grow together until the harvest, and at harvest time I will tell the reapers, collect the weeds and bind them together in bundles to be burned, and gather the wheat into the barn." Then he goes to explain to his disciples the parable, and ends with my favorite, "Whoever has ears, let him hear." I just love the parables with this phrase at the end, because whenever I see this phrase, I translate it to mean, "Listen up, O ye of thick skulls. This is important, and I am saying more than you think I'm saying, so for the love of God, pay attention." So to hear what Jesus might be saying, we always need to see it in the larger context of the whole message of Jesus. This parable was generally referenced as a passage of condemnation theology in my upbringing. "They will get what's coming to them," he would say. "They" and "them" being the keywords, of course. But is the message of Jesus' life condemnation? Most, if not all, would agree that no, it is not. So there must be something more to this. I don't know about you, but I go between two extremes. Sometimes I'm feeling like I'm doing pretty well, and I'm a good human doing good work in the world, and there's signs of hope in life at every turn. And other times, I feel like a hypocrite, a good intention lost cause, and there's oppression everywhere I look. I look around and see people tending to the world and for each other, caring for the poor and the sick, advocating for those who need it. But then, I see people lying to each other, closing doors to people instead of opening them for them, people screaming at each other on the subway, and kids being bullied all over the internet. What would be great is if the Bible would just give me a strict guide on how to judge. We could even make an educational series here at Redeemer, How to Judge 101, Bible-Approved Guidelines for Success. Life would be so much easier, wouldn't it? Actually, yes, it probably would be, but that's the point of our reading here today. We see a lot of examples throughout the Gospels of people who surely deserve judgment, but then Jesus turns things on their head. Extending grace to people that disobeyed God, abandoned their families, prostituted, stole, lied, and weaseled their way through life. According to our Judgment 101 course, these people would get what's coming to them. But perhaps frustratingly so, Jesus says, nope, not your place to judge. And if you have ears, listen up, because this is the stuff that's important. In her book, Pastrix, Nadia Boltz-Weber says something that has stuck with me ever since I read it. She writes, "My friend once said to me, after one of my more finely worded rants about stupid people who have the wrong opinions, Nadia, the thing that sucks is that every time we draw a line between us and others, Jesus is always on the other side of it." Wow. In her sermon titled The Problem with the Bible, Sarah Iles so beautifully frames this passage for us. She says, "In the middle of the field, the world, Scripture says, all kinds of wheat and weeds are jammed up right against the grain. The field, the world, is a total mess. And so we believe that we're the ones chosen to clean it up. But if we think we can tell the weeds from the wheat, the purely good people from the purely evil, we are kidding ourselves about the shameful evil inside our own hearts and the humanity inside of our enemies. And if we try to root out what we think is evil by ourselves, we will also destroy everything that feeds us. Anyone who has ears should listen to this good news. The life-giving wheat, the bread of life, is already in the field. The kingdom of heaven is already in the world, growing and growing. And the enemy cannot root it out. All the enemy can do is try to convince us to pull it up, trick us into being overzealous leaders who, in our eagerness to eradicate the bad guys, will step all over these green shoots of love. Now, if you're a bit of a bleeding heart like me, you have no problem applying this logic to those that are, say, living in extreme poverty. But you might struggle with it when you are applying it to people of different political stripes or theological interpretations as your own, for instance. So before we get too pious, I like to remind myself that sometimes it's actually easier to be non-judgmental of the people we feel that we have a power dynamic over in society. We don't really have too much to lose, besides maybe a few dollars in taxes. We feel good about ourselves and consider ourselves on the right side of history. And don't get me wrong, we probably are. Wherever the poor is, there is God. We should always be looking for opportunities to make our world more just, more equitable, and more compassionate. And not just thinking, but acting. So often, these acts will spill out into our interpretations of Scripture and into our politics. But what do we do when someone has a different political view than we have? When you draw a line, Jesus is standing on the other side. Uh-oh. Could that possibly apply to those type of people too? Even my neighbor with that large Conservative Party sign in his front yard from the election that ended a year and a half ago? Yes, it does. To be clear, strong convictions are not the problem. It's when we draw a hard, thick line between us and them and say, okay, Jesus, pick a side and do it quick. When we do this, we have chosen to pull the weeds too early. God is inviting us, not necessarily towards a wishy-washy tolerance of all viewpoints, but rather to always have an opening, a place for all people to squeeze through. Perhaps our assignment in the end is to do everything with thoughtfulness, compassion, to fight for rights, to advocate, but to most importantly, always make room. If the line we have drawn doesn't have a door for people from the other side to enter, we are doing it wrong. If we are pulling the weeds too early and judging everyone from our seat of piety, we are doing it wrong. Given our hope in God's redemptive power, we might even be able to imagine that these weeds will be transformed. For our own sake, we should hope this is the case. I'll close with one more story. A few years ago, I had a great opportunity to attend the Canadian Alliance on Homelessness Conference in Vancouver. This is a large annual conference that brings together various branches of government workers, politicians, along with some nonprofit organizations, to discuss issues related to housing and homelessness. It was the year that they had officially announced that Medicine Hat, Alberta, was the first city in the nation to eradicate homelessness, and that was the primary topic of a lot of the workshops. The second evening, there was a reception. I was a little apprehensive to attend, as it seemed I might not have brought an outfit suitable for the occasion, but I figured it was a great opportunity to meet some people. So to my relief, I wasn't underdressed and had great conversations with politicians, government workers, and even a couple of church leaders from across the country. These conversations made it evident that people here cared deeply for those experiencing homelessness and were making it their life's work to play a small part in improving the lives of those people. I decided to leave the reception a little early, around 8 p.m. As I walked from the conference building outside, I saw a group of people. They were carrying signs, a proud game with a purpose, I could tell. As they got closer, I could see these were my people, the local anti-poverty coalition. They had that edge to them that I know and have grown to love from similar groups here in Toronto. My heart grew full as I saw them marching towards the building. And my first thought was that this was organized to coincide with this event. An outside rally, a more public display of support. Clever, I thought. However, as they neared the building, I started to get the sense that my first impression was horribly wrong. The person with the megaphone yelled, "No more fancy receptions, we need housing now." And the group joined in chanting, "Housing now, housing now." Oh no, this was not good. They were getting closer and closer to the building, and a couple of people from the outside group began to bang on the windows. "Pay attention," one said. "We are the ones who need the housing. We are the ones who are poor. Use your resources where it's needed. Build affordable housing now." Security people gathered inside and locked the doors. People in the reception held their wine glasses and clipboards with confused looks on their faces. Tensions rose both inside and outside. I was paralyzed as I observed from the side of the street the scene before me. I'll admit, my first thought was, thank God I am not inside that building anymore. But I then remembered that inside I had actually met some awesome people, influential people, using their resources and their networking to make gains in housing inequity. But outside, they were equally influential people who live and breathe their advocacy in a way that most people on the inside will never understand. Also using their voices to make gains in housing inequity. What a sight. Wheat and weeds, wheat and weeds. Were there some weeds inside that building? Absolutely. A few people profiting off poverty more than helping it. But was there some wheat inside that building? Yes. How about outside? Both weeds and wheat, I'm sure. A few people searching for a platform to be obnoxious, while most speaking truth to power and walking the walk every single day. Who do we pull? Who is the wheat? Where are my judgment 101 notes? In that moment, I remember talking to God as the intensity grew and the cops were pulling up. "Whoa, God, just tell me, who do I stand with here?" And true to God's fashion, God doesn't answer questions like that. The wheat and the weeds on both sides of the glass need to grow together for all of it to thrive. We need to live in this tension, in this reality of a messy, confusing world. This is what being a Christian is about. Our job is to make room for each other. Our job isn't to pull the weeds. Because the problem when we pull the weeds too early is that we are simplifying a gospel that is much more complex, open, compassionate, and generous than we could ever imagine. Amen.